Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from coast to coast, you're listening to WFB Talk with your hosts, BB, BJ, Meg, and Robin.
Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of Women's Football Talk. Today is Sunday, January 20th, and I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people are watching some football today. How you doing? How are you doing, Nancy?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Watching the New England Patriots and San Diego Chargers, and they just finished the game. It's 21-12.
It's over?
Yep, just finished.
Oh, do one. New England.
Wow.
It was an exciting game from the beginning. I know Robin's jumping up and down right now. She's not going to be with us today. She had some things, but she was working on a show for next week called Player-Coach Relationship. So I was listening to a little bit about that before the show. But today is Sunday, January 20th, and today we're going to actually talk about Sixes Talk. We originally had scheduled also Deb Midgley from the Holyoke Hurricanes, but she wrote Nancy an email. Last week, actually, we didn't have a show, and we postponed it. This week, she actually is on call, and she doesn't know when she'd be able to call in. So we actually emailed her and asked her if we could wait till after the Super Bowl, because we figure people are going to be busy with Super Bowl talk and stuff like that. We didn't want to take anything away from the Holyoke Hurricanes. We wanted to give full attention to her. But today we're going to actually talk about the Sixes.
Are we going to have a show that Sunday? Probably not.
Probably not. I don't think anybody's going to be too in. I think they were probably going to be at Super Bowl parties, especially if the New England Patriots are in. I know Robin will definitely not want to be on the show. You know, she is a New England Patriot fan, Tom Brady fan. Yeah, and then Green Bay is going to be next, so I'm kind of rooting for them. But so, Meg, did you want to – we're going to go into the highlights of the leagues. I was kind of looking around the WPFL, Women's Football, Pro Football League, and I still see that there's some teams for sale. They have the SoCal Scorpions is selling their team, the Empire State Roar, as well as the New Mexico Burn. I haven't heard anything new. They still had that survey going on, but I think it's ended, you know, if – they were going to start the spring season or fall season. So I think there's still hope that there will be a league next year. Have you heard anything on that?
I haven't heard anything. I know that most of the teams that are wanted to play this season have switched to either the IWFL or NWFA. There's no word. I mean, we did talk about before, you know, they could play in both leagues. They could come back and be part of their league again. But I think in that with the moving leagues, they might just probably stay where they're at unless they, you know, build some time to build up some funds or things like that and come back. But I would say the WPFL of what people have known it as is gone. It could revive itself. You know, I don't know for sure. I mean, who's telling? But it seems like now the two predominant leagues, the NWFA and the IWFL, with their new ideas and their new starts and things like that and all the new teams that switched to them. So We'll just stick with that for now, and, you know, come fall, there might be some fall football, and there might not. I know I'm missing football right now, and that is why Coach had mentioned something about the Sixes teams, but nothing is definite about that. But that definitely got me interested in doing some research on stuff. But what's new with the IWFL, the NWFA? Anything new with them at the moment?
Well, with the IWFL, I don't know if anybody's into American Gladiator, but we have our very own Jim Broom of the New York Sharks that's going to be on American Gladiator tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. As you know, when Kimberly Bradshaw did Deal or No Deal, it brought out a lot of interest in women's football, and we're hoping that this does the same, you know, make people aware that there is women's tackle football out there, and she's actually going to be representing, you know, the IWFL as well as herself in American Gladiator tomorrow night. So if you guys are American Gladiator fans, tune in at 8 p.m. I guess it's 8 p.m. everywhere. I know it's 8 p.m. Pacific, and I believe it's 8 p.m. Eastern as well.
Yeah,
so she'll be on the show tomorrow.
So
you can go to the website, IWFLsports.com, or go to NYSharksFootball.com and read a little bit on that. And we also did like a little thing from on our blog. We kind of just basically copied the website and kind of linked people to the site. So I've been seeing a lot of people been clicking those links from our site as well. As for the NWFA, the National Women's Football Association, I was actually got a like a little press release newsletter. And if you go on their site, you see that they're talking about having live broadcasts on a website called suncasttv.com. And I was actually on that today. You can actually go to their website, NWFA, and click on the link, suncasttv.com. They actually had the NWFA championship game. I was kind of watching that this morning. I didn't realize that they had that on the Internet. I was watching the Passion and the Comets play this morning, so it was kind of nice. Well,
the Passion have switched to the IWFL now, right? Is that correct?
That's correct. The Pittsburgh Passion are now in the IWFL.
So there you go. That's the last game that they played of their NWFA season. So if you need, you know, you're playing them first this year in the IWFL, get some game film.
That's right. Well, it's available online. But yeah, the quality was really nice. I was looking at that, so I'm excited. I'm still learning more about suncasttv.com. I guess you can actually, it's through the Internet, but you can actually view it on your television. You purchase the box from them, so you can actually view it on your television. But I think it will be available on the Internet. Like I said, I'm finding out more information little by little, and they're actually looking for people to advertise on that website. So check out National Women's Football, womensfootballcentral.com. I'm just so used to going to nwfatv.com because it's so easy to remember. And you can find out more on suncasttv.com, you know, that they're going to be televising. And I know, too, that Women's Gridiron is also going to be having games on the Internet, but not necessarily live. After a team does, broadcast it, they're going to actually, you know, give them the link for them to link them to, so you can watch all the games, so you won't miss anything. So that's good. At least we get to watch all the games, the ones you can't go to. And Nancy and I were already talking about the games we're going to go to this year. Our first game, of course, is going to be the Sacramento Sirens on April 12th. The second game is going to be the Modesto Magic Arizona Wildfire on April 19th. And our third game, guess what, Meg? We're coming out to Houston to watch the Atlanta Explosion and the Dallas Diamonds. So we're going to be coming out your way. And we talked about driving to Dallas together.
Yes,
so,
yes,
those are three of the games that we are definitely going to go to this year. So, and we're still kind of looking at our schedule what we're going to go to. But you have some interesting things to share with us. So you found out that there's an alternative to playing a full roster team.
Yes, I'm going to go ahead and just start out with the history of it, mainly without doing it through the Women's League, but just how it developed in general. It's kind of between a cross between like arena football, flag football, and then just like your regular, you know, NFL style football. So, I mean, it's full gear, just, you know, tackle and pads, all full pads, just like if you were going to have a regular league. It's called the Sixes team. And the history that I found of it, it's six on six. The six-man football was invented in 1934, and it was invented by a high school coach from Chester, Nebraska, named Stephen Effler, who wanted to find a way for his players to have the opportunity to play the game of football. 4 years later, the game made its way to the Lone Star State, which is Texas, and as the UIL contemplated adding six-man football to the option allowed for Texas public schools. So a lot of the high schools out here now actually have this, which is good if you have a lot of different levels, or if you have, I know out here, our elementary schools and junior highs actually have tackle football teams. So this is definitely a good option for that. In that first year in 1938, only 55 schools participated in the six-man football. A year later, the number grew to 112 schools. At one time, as many as 160 teams participated. In the early 1940s, towns that 60 years later still play six-man football, such as Harold, Trent, Novice, Groom, Nobby were playing, but also appearing on those early charts were then tiny towns of Katy, Friendswood, which are two towns that are right next to me, Dripping Stones, Coffers Cove, and Pearland, which is the town I live in. Of course, many long-forgotten towns that no longer exist or have schools are represented. Towns like Durazit, Oaklandview, Flat, Pecan Gap, Stewart Place fielded teams in those early seasons. Today, as we enter the 21st century, a time of consolidation and migration to the city, the game of six-man football is still alive and well in Texas. In 2001, there were to be 120 public schools and as many as 50 to 60 private schools participating. By comparison, 19 teams play in New Mexico, 16 in Colorado, and 15 in Montana. The only other states sanctioning state championships. Of course, there are several teams in various states, like Nebraska and Kansas, which play six-man football that is not sanctioned by state association. Let's see. The first 2 6-man football game played by Texas high school team. University Interscholastic League Director Rodney Kidd asked coaches at the two schools located just south of Austin to study the rules. They later played the exhibition for UIL officials, who must have been impressed, as they officially sanctioned 6-man play for the fall of 1938. Both schools competed in 6-man that first fall and tied for the District 3 title of the Dripping Springs. So that's kind of how it all started. And let's see.
And Megan, I know that besides the research you did on the sixes, I want to ask you several questions, too. You also contacted the IWFL. I also heard that there may be a women's sixes team, too.
Yes, there are, Nancy. I researched and found out that the IWFL actually sponsors their own women's six-man team. So this is through the league, so it's league representative. You are part of the IWFL, just like the regular full-man teams are. Except for the difference kind of is also is that colleges can do this, and I'm not sure if there's any women high school teams. I'm not sure. I believe anybody can do it. I think the age limit still might be 18, just like the regular IWFL rules. That I'd have to check into. But there are definitely college teams that do this, so that's a definite opportunity for any junior colleges or universities that do the intramural rec teams that are just women and want to, you know, someone wants to sponsor them to go ahead and do it. It's a lot cheaper than doing full-man teams. And it once again gives women an opportunity to do this. I kind of looked in the history of the sixes for women in the IWFL, and it was created back in 2005 as a solution for small markets that don't have enough players to field an 11-man roster. The sixes football team is best compared to just like the high school teams that in Texas that I talked about. But there is a little bit of a difference between the men's sixes and the women's sixes. It's kind of the kicking game. They don't use goalposts for the women, so that makes it a lot better, because there's no after point or field goal for the kicking. So that's where it kind of is like flag, which makes it a lot more marketable for women who can't afford to rent a big football stadium. Their team, you know, you don't have enough funds, you don't have enough players, so you can play at the park. You can rent a park. Some women teams have rented, you know, a soccer indoor soccer arena. Because the field, the field that I looked up here, the playing surface is a maximum of 40 yards wide and 80 yards long with 10-yard end zones. The field is broken into 4 zones of 20 yards each. Your equipment that you use, just like your standard women's football, you know, the helmet, the pads, the leg pads, the knee pads, everything like that, everything's the same. It's just for six-man front. And the other thing that's a little bit different, they mark the field like the flag football. Like I said, the 20-yard, 40-yard goal lines. This means that the game can be played on any 40-by-8 field, so your teams don't have to rent, like I said, those expensive football fields and specific fields that they need. And another thing that I found out is that you do not need a full-chain crew. You just need a down marker. So teams get 4 downs, and then they pass once they pass each, you know, the line of the 20 and 40. So it makes the game a lot more financially accessible. And yet it's still having that real football feel, Nancy, so that you still can have, you know, the full game without having, you know, all the extra financial obligation of renting fields, finding people to volunteer, you know, finding the players and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting regarding using a park or, you know, so I understand that money is involved by having, for example, like the Sirens, they have to go to a particular high school every game, and they have to pay for that. So that's quite interesting that you can just use the regular parks. That's really great. And what was the main idea behind starting this branch of the league?
What I have heard is there, you know, there's so many women around the country and that are really in small or isolated towns that want to play football. They say, where's the closest team? I remember living up in Mount Shasta and researching and researching and researching and finding that Sacramento, 3 hours away, or going up to Eugene, Oregon, another 3 hours away, the opposite direction, were the closest teams that I could get to. And there's no way, you know, so many people do commute. We have had people on teams that will commute the 2-3 hours, but sometimes that's just not possible. So this is one of the reasons that it became a marketable idea, was because of the fact that people that are in small towns or isolated towns that want to play, these women want to play, and they don't have big populations. And Therefore, unless they're willing to move, they have no opportunity to play unless they want to commute that distance, which sometimes might not be an option. So the league kind of thought of that idea because they wanted to give people a chance to play, even if they lived in a small town. And it turns out that even now, that idea has kind of grown, because even big cities like, you know, Houston, we might end up having three teams here. You know, coaches talked with, you know, the IFL, and he might, you know, sponsor three teams. It's not a definite thing. But this marginal idea is even going, is being discovered by folks in big cities, and the Sixes is becoming, you know, well-known. And it's funny because now it's almost like an entire division. So if you got a bunch of six teams, you don't have to travel. You know, you can play inner-city teams, you know what I mean? So that makes it better. It's kind of like the flag idea. You're playing within your own inner city, and even if Tier 1 or two, Tier 2, then you wouldn't have to travel as much and things like that. So it basically eliminates those long trips that you play in the regular season. And for those that aren't able to commit the time or the money to an 11-man team, the Sixes is definitely a realistic option, you know, here for football. And there seems to have now been a lot of interest, and it's continued to grow every year. And as people see it played, they're starting to get excited about it. And, you know, it's starting to grow, just like the rest of the regular football. You know, some of these people that are looking at the flag who want to get into the tackle but realize, oh, crap, we don't have enough people, our town's too small, or I don't have the money, are looking to these options of having six-man teams. The minimum on the team is usually 8 on the roster, and the maximum is 15. So that's definitely a more doable idea than saying, you know, your minimum is 30 or so or 20 and your maximum is 45. And this definitely gives you probably more playing time, lesser experienced people get a chance to play. And then, you know, then they could decide if they want to join a bigger league. It's also an option for that.
Well, you know what? You gave me the idea. You know, I got excited when you said that you guys were thinking about starting three teams, and that you thought that you'd be playing on those teams as well. And I thought, you know what, that would be an alternative. You know, I really don't want to commit to, you know, I don't want to commit again like the last 2 years. But I could honestly consider joining a Sixes team, you know. I could honestly consider doing that. And then you're still playing tackle football. It's still real football. And, you know, and it actually would be a way as for improvement as well. You can actually use it like a stepping stone for improving your game. You know, and
with 8 people on a team, Barb, you could just go out and pick those 8 people that have some sports ability that would want to join you and, you know, play. And that's what makes it such a marketable idea to some people that don't have the time and the money to commit to a big team, can't make all the practices. And you schedule your own kind of practices. The coaches kind of organize it, but coaches aren't allowed on the field. They can't coach the players during the game. So it's definitely more where if you're the kind of person that, you know, you and your bunch of friends, you know, kind of like the flag attitude, just to get together on the weekends, practice a little bit, want to go and play a couple of games to stay in shape, even in the off season, if your football season's, you know, opposite of the IWFL season, and you want to do this to just stay in shape, or just stay in shape in general because you play, you know, in the spring, or you play soccer in the spring, or something like that. It's definitely, like you said, a doable idea where you said you get excited because you don't have that whole commitment of putting into a whole team. And we love our big teams, but sometimes it's just not possible. You know, our life schedules come up to different things, but this still brings football and gives women an opportunity to still play tackle football.
Talking about what you had mentioned about players driving far away, I know, for example, a couple players in this area did 2 hours just to come down to Sacramento, plus speaking with the Magic, a woman on the team that drives about an hour and a half, I think she said, and then somebody kind of near Fresno. So there's a lot of women that have the ambition to play, so that's great that there's an alternative to this.
To jump in there real quick, Nancy, thinking of that, when you said there's an alternative, and I was thinking some of the people that drive that far, also think of some of the people that may not have made a full team roster, that for some reason they were too slow or they weren't fast enough, which is the same thing, but or just couldn't gain the skills of football and stuff like that and want to work on it. This Sixes definitely gives you an opportunity to work, you know, with some players that have some experience or just a few other players and play smaller games, you know, shorter field, things like that, and get used to it and then maybe go back and try out again for a bigger team or keep your smaller team. So that's definitely an option if you have 3 or 4 players that were cut from a big team and have some skills they need to work on to get out there and work on these together like you said, Barb, definitely a chance to get better without having that hype of that big competition on you. It definitely gives you a chance to experience live football and get that under your belt and get that experience.
True. And Meg, what are the biggest challenges that the Sixers face versus a regular full roster team in the league? And from what you're mentioning with the research you've done, it seems like it might be more financially accessible, right?
It is. They do still face some of the challenges, just on a smaller scale. I mean, you still have your annual registration fee. Of course, it's not going to be as much because it's a smaller team. The IWFL has this all posted up on Sixes, which is SIXSES.com. You can go on there. Anybody can start a league. Anybody can sponsor a league. You don't necessarily have to own like a team. It shows you how to set up your team, how to get your equipment, and things like that. So, but there is a registration fee for the team. And it's only about $650. So far, it's definitely much more financially accessible to those that want to start up their own team and just play. You still could travel up to 10 hours because sometimes you don't have teams that are closer because it's still nationally recognized, just like the IWFL. So all states, different states have teams. And you still have your travel cost. Although travel costs probably aren't going to be as big of an issue because you're only traveling up to a max of 15 people versus trying to travel a team of 45, and that's just the players, let alone the coaches and the trainers and all that. So, I mean, you could have 15, you know, the max you need is 8, so you're looking at, you could just have, you know, only 8 people that could afford to travel out of your 15, and that's a lot more doable than trying to get about 22 people to be able to put out that money. You still got to come out of pocket and pay for travel, but it's definitely an advantage that you have when you're thinking of a smaller amount of number that you had to try to come up with the money. One of the challenges they face is being respected as athletes and teams. As a six-man team, sometimes it's hard to be seen as real football, and it's really hard. But, it's once people start watching the game and seeing – and they don't take it seriously at first, they start to realize that these girls are doing the same thing as any other football team. As any football team that has a full roster, just because there's less people on the field, they're still playing. They're still hitting. They're still hitting hard, and they're still tackling and running, and they're still athletes. So it's just gaining that respect as a woman athlete in a different kind of a form, because now it's not just regular football, it's Sixes football. So that's throwing in a little curve. So they kind of struggle with that, but it's something that, you know, most athletes still face as a woman athlete, challenges of the game. So it's really no different. And it's a little more challenging to promote the Sixes because, and it's funny because I hadn't really heard much about it till just now, and yet they've been around. I'd kind of heard, you know, some of the teams that it's, you know, had full man rosters, had lost, you know, some money and lost some girls, some players, and weren't able to finance the whole team. Like Oakland Banshees had moved to a six-man team, and I hadn't, you know, I kind of had informally heard about it, but I didn't realize it was, you know, the same scale, that they were still out there playing tackle football, that it was still, they had their own division, they still could go to the championship and things like that. So it's still definitely a competitive thing, and they're taking their time, but they're making headway on it. So those are just some of the challenges, is that just is a harder to market because, you know, they're not as well-known. But any woman athlete is still struggling at this point to try to market ideas and things like that.
You know, I think the year before last, I think when the Banshees were kind of moving, you know, to the Sixes, I think they actually did play, I think one of the teams agreed to play a six-man team. And I want to say it was Corvallis Pride, but I'm not absolutely sure. I think, didn't they play a game against them?
I remember they had asked us something about if we wanted to have a six-man traveling team that was just an additional to our already big team, you know, that just broke down and just traveled. And I'm not sure, I'd have to look into it more, that even full-size teams might be able to take, you know, their six best players, you know, in the positions that they need and use them also for a six-man team. And I know that we were kind of marketed up for the idea when we were signed, and I think you're right, Barb. I think one of the teams did agree to play Oakland when they still tried to be in our division, and they only had so many players. They had, I think at that time they might have just had 8 or something, and we had, you know, agreed to play the game, you know, with the amount of players they had, because we don't want to see women's football go away. We're trying to promote women's football, and we will do anything to keep it possible, and that's one of these ideas with the six-man team, because it allows these teams that instead of just collapsing and disappearing to continue and stay as a six-man team and maybe once again become a full team or stay as a six-man team.
Well, you know what? That's what they should consider, I think. I think, weren't we talking about at one time that, hey, you know, maybe every team should have a sixes team. It could be like kind of like their minors. If a player needs to work on something, you know, it's not anything negative. You're working, you're still playing football, and you get the opportunity to play football. Maybe send them down to the sixes to improve on something and you kind of have alternating. I mean, I don't know if they could ever do that, but I mean, that'd be something like the Sirens could have a sixes team, the Oakland, you know, of course has a sixes team. You know, I mean, every team could have their own sixes team.
Yes,
still,
because you have those 15, you know, player maximum roster, which is, you know, normal size rosters anywhere between 38 to about 45. And so that's about a little under half of your team, you know, going out there and playing. And you're right, it could be kind of like a minor league kind of a thing where you get bumped down. Pardon me, you get bumped down. And I don't think that it would be any different if you registered a six-man team and had a full-man team. I think, you know, they might even help promote each other. You know?
And not to say that you're going to stick some ringers in there, because, I mean, that wouldn't be the case. You wouldn't stick ringers in there, and if you made improvement, you can actually move up type thing, where you're not going to keep them there just so you're going to win every year the championship. It's actually a chance for people to grow and develop their team to a strong team so that way they can move to Tier 1 or Tier 2. And it would actually promote college teams, high school teams, you know, get the women started in football at an early age as well.
You're right. There's definitely more growth in it. It's just getting the word out about it. Like I said, I wasn't even aware until Coach called me up and said, hey, what do you think of this idea? This is what I've heard. And it just was like, oh, God, I got to research this because that means I could be playing football right now. You know, I just want to play. And most of us just want to play in spite of going in the backyard, putting on my gear, and telling Amber to put our gear and just running and hitting, you know, which isn't necessarily the next thing I don't recommend. But it's something that, you know, you miss it. When you're not doing it, you definitely miss it. You know?
Yeah. Who knows what 2009, you know, maybe if I hear there's a sixes team, maybe, you know, like I said, I don't want to, you know, do the full traveling, the full, you know, 12-game season. I might want to do a 6-game season. I mean, I could just maybe handle that, you know. So it's something to think about, and it's something kind of gives you a thinking, oh, here, I'm retiring. But you never know. You might want to go back eventually, you know, just to keep yourself in shape.
Well, and that brings up, when you mention retired, I know a lot of our retired Sirens players that just play flag. Because they can't commit to this time commitment of the full team because they have families or things like that. This gives them an opportunity to still play, to not just play flag. But now, okay, like you said, they come out of retirement just to play the sixes team. And that's fun. You don't have to be good. You don't have to be the best. Just like flag, you know, a lot of the Sirens on the off season go out there and play. A lot of the retired players come out there and play on the same team. And it's a bunch of fun, you know. And this year our biggest thing was just knocking out, you know, our rival team that had other Sirens players on it, and we succeeded. And, you know, we made it. You guys, I heard you made it to the championship and lost like we always do, but it's fun. and that's kind of what the Sixes is. It's fun, but yet still getting the opportunity to play full contact football.
And they do have their own championship game as well.
They do. And the same weekend as the other games, the same place and things like that. And you still get, you know, your chance to be, you know, get your rings and everything like that.
And, Megan, also, regarding that there are fewer teams, how are the teams scheduled for travel? For example, how many home games, how many away games would they schedule?
The Sixes season is about 6 games. They have 3 home games and 3 away games. This means that there's only 3 road trips that you have to deal with. They handle it like any other sport, you know, as far as traveling comes. They approach those challenges the same way. They have to do fundraising, sharing rides, hotel rooms, and most of the time they just pay their own way, just like, you know, any other team. So just, it's kind of be like the flag championship when you pay to go to Las Vegas or things like that. You got to fundraise, come up with the money. But once again, you're only raising the most money for either 8 to up to 15 players. So it's a lot more doable. And in this case, you know, with only 3 away games, you know, up to maybe 10 hours being the farthest, you know, everybody carpools or you rent a car and you all go. The cost is a lot better. And like I said, if you only, you know, have 8 people that can do it, your minimum on the team is 8. So if not all 15 players can travel or make the game, you still have the opportunity to be able to travel. It is getting better as more teams join the league. You don't have to go as far. once I said, you know, once big cities start getting it on, as well as the small towns getting teams, you don't have to go as far. If Houston were to have three teams, that's 3 years, you know, your three games, you know, up if you travel to Dallas, that could be travel from Houston to Dallas, things like that. So there are still some of the challenges of regular team as far as traveling, but it helps out a bit because you're not going that far and you're only playing the 6 games, which is different than playing maybe 10 games in a regular season. But you're only traveling 3 times and you have, you know, 3 home games. And like I said before, a lot of people play those in an indoor soccer arena or they play them just at a park field or things like that. So it's a lot more accommodating and a lot more doable.
That's great because it is financially accessible. Most full roster teams, for example, if they travel most majority of the team, they can spend anywhere from like $20,000 to maybe up to $30,000 just to get their teams from one side of the country to the next, or even from like Midwest to the West or Midwest to the East. So that's great that it's more accessible to these teams. Do you know of any Sixers team that have gone full roster?
Not yet. There hasn't been any yet, but you know, I researched that it is definitely an option for any team that wants to move up and have an 11-member team. The door's open, so the possibilities are endless. If you start out with, you know, a sixes team, and your team starts to grow and you start to get better, and you want to have official tryouts and you want to play, you know, on the full 11-man IWSL roster, your team is welcome to join the league. And you know, that would be good if you had a team that owned itself and started out as a 6-man team, a 6-man team, and then grew. And the more, you know, the more money you make or the more established and better players you get, you could become a full-size team. A lot of the teams that have played sixes enjoy it, so they keep coming back, which is good because then that just gets more people involved and you have the teams. It's a lot of it's for the fun of the game. It doesn't have the high pressure, and that is a lot of the reason why, you know, like Barr said, if you're retired or if you don't want that high pressure or you're not that good, it's for fun. And so a lot of people from a business operation standpoint choose to do it. It does make, you know, the tier one or two team, that makes it a pretty attractive option for a lot of people who, you know, have a smaller team or want to get better. You can still, like Barb said, I think you might be able to have, you know, as long as you pay your fees, anybody can start a team. There's no rules, I don't think, about splitting, you know, having your team split up. I mean, once you're an IWSL member, you're an IWSL member. As long as your roster's set and you're not trading people to and from your main team to your small team, I believe you can have both. And it leaves that open, like I said, so you don't have all that financial responsibility. You don't have all that high pressure to win. And it allows your players to get better. It allows people that come out of retirement, people who live in small towns, to go ahead and join, you know, six-man teams.
And, Megan, that's really great. Now, most of our listeners would probably be interested in organizing a Sixers team. How would they go about that? Do you have any information on maybe some websites that they can go to?
I do. Anyone is welcome to register a team. The registration is quick and easy. You can check out, like I said, the Sixers, spelled Sixes.com. For more information, it'll say the approximate team of startups and costs and how to register for a team for 08. Also, when you click on that site, it has the rules. And you can also just go to the IWSL website, and it might link you there also. There are some websites. You can type in Texas High School 6-man teams. There's about 3 links that pop up. I don't have those written down in my notes, but when those pop up, you can go ahead and do it. But I do have here, Nancy, approximate startup costs for the Sixes team. You have to pay your IWSL 2008 individual membership, which is just $20 per person, which is standard for any IWSL player. The Sixes team registration fees is $650 per calendar year. You have to pay the ref fees, but that varies depending on what refs you have. I believe you still have to use, you know, the same type of official refs that you need to get. Also on that website, it lists out, you know, it breaks down some costs for uniform and playing equipment. For people that are starting out a new team and might not be aware of how much uniforms and things cost, it lists, you know, the number of game jerseys, how much helmets could cost, how much cleats, mouth guard, a rule book, practice jerseys, game pants, shoulder pads, and gloves. It lists all those out there. So anybody who doesn't know really anything about football, and might have one or two people that do and want to grab those people and start kind of a team, kind of also itemizes out for you. It's really nice of the type of equipment you might use for your team. If you want to sponsor it, if you had somebody out there who wanted to sponsor a team and purchase all that stuff ahead of time. I know most of our teams that I've played on, well, except for the Houston Energy, he went ahead and, you know, a lot of the girls purchased the helmets. He bought the helmets and he lent them out and things like that. But most of the women's teams that I know like to buy their own gear, but this still kind of lists you a price amount. So if you're an individual wanting to know about how much you're going to spend on buying your own helmet, your own cleats and stuff like that, and most vendors are willing to give you a discount on items in bulk. So sometimes if you order them as a team together, even though if you're paying for your own individually, it's better, you know, to get, you know, you three or four or five people together and all buy your helmets at the same time. Sometimes you can get a discount. They also put on there, she puts on there some practice and field equipment, things like that, balls, ball pumps. They use the exact same ball as the IWFL, so if you're used to that size ball and you already have it, you're ready to go. They use the exact same game ball. And from there, you know, you just got get 8 to 15 people together and put on a team. Coaches, sometimes they have a coaching salary stipend and things like that. But they estimate everything out on there. They say everything's estimates. They don't include travel or field rentals. All gear is listed what a team should have. Remember, you can start with less and build up your inventory of field and practice gear when you're ready to start a team. So you don't necessarily have to have everything that's listed on there. Basically, just $20 per person for IWFL fees, $650 for per calendar year. And then from there, if your players already have your gear, you already have things like that, fields that you can practice on, you're pretty well set to go.
You did a very good job in researching this, because prior to today's show, I had no idea about the fixes. You educated me very well. Barb, did you want to include anything, or do you want to say anything regarding that?
Well, I'm looking at the Sixes website right now. That's SIXXES.com. And it says that their schedule's coming soon, so maybe they're still looking to get some teams signed up. So, like Meg said, if you go to the website, it says 2018 registration info clip here, and you get all the information. And I know that Kezia had said if anybody has any questions, you can write the IWFL at IWFL@IWFLsports.com, and they'll give you more information. And you were trying to contact some of the teams, weren't you, Megan? Like, I think the Central Coast Heat won last year. They were the champions last year, it says.
Yeah, I tried to click on some of their web pages because it's kind of been the off season. They haven't gotten them updated yet. But definitely check back if you're not interested in having a team this year, but maybe in the future, or you just want to learn more about it. Once they get the season up and the team's going and the schedule going, click back and try to get onto those websites, because I'm sure they'll start updating that. You can start following the teams. I know they have press releases just like the IWFL full rosters do, and I believe they come up on the regular IWFL website, if I'm not mistaken, because some of their headlines are on the Sixes website, so I think they're kind of one and the same. But definitely check back, track those teams. Like Barb said, it did show the championship team has a picture of them there with their little trophies and stuff. So they do play the same day as the regular championship game. I don't know if it's the same day or that weekend, as well as this year you'll have the Tier 1 and Tier 2 championship game. So it's still, you know, nationally recognized. It's still a big deal. I know it's just for fun, but there is still a chance, you know, to go to the championship and win. And right now there isn't that many teams. I'm not sure how many teams there are at this time, but if you're interested in joining a team, or you have a college, you know, you're in college and you want to start a little team and it's part of your rec fundage or whatever, go for it. I wouldn't say not to. It's definitely an opportunity and a great experience to get out there and get a chance to play real football. As far as the rules and stuff, I did notice when she where I was getting my research from, some of the Texas high school websites do have some formations. If you're going six man, how in the heck are you going to build a team if you know anything about football? And it shows some formations and some routes and some things like that to show you how to set up. So even if you don't have any idea of a playbook, there are ways to get a hold of some information like that on how you would set up your players on the field, how many on the line you would need, and things like that. So those rules are there is a rule book and things like that. Most of the rules are the same. Holding, all those things are still standard football rules. Just basically a smaller field. So it's for those people who are out there and play flag and say, dang, I wish this was tackle, or, you know, and get in trouble for it. I've been in trouble for that before. This is your opportunity to get out there and have some fun and get some full hitting contact sport. You know, a lot of people don't take it seriously until they go out there and watch it. And once they see it, they realize it is still like real football. Yeah, it's only six-man team, but it's just like how the arena football is, the NFL. It's still real football. It might be a smaller field, but you still have those challenges. You still have those athletes out there. And who knows, one of those players could end up being, you know, IWFL veteran or IWFL person that stays along for a while and moves up to a big league or stays in the Sixes League. So it's definitely an opportunity. And maybe for those older players or things like that, they don't have a limit on that. So anybody who wants to come out of retirement or wants to just start out fresh or wants more experience, it sounds fun to me.
Oh, it does. Or those who want to own a team. I mean, there was a time where I said, Nancy, why don't you, let's see if you could get a percentage of a team of some sort. You know, you can actually afford to fund your own team and just have, you know, you just kind of be in the silence and just fund the team if you want to be an owner of a team.
Exactly.
You know, that'd be something to consider. But, I think we're going to check out some Sixes games this year, too. We'll have to talk and see where, like, maybe, you know, Southern California or Oakland. Oakland's so close. We're only, like, what, an hour away. See where they're going to be playing, and maybe we'll check out a Sixes game and report on a Sixes game because, you know, that's still professional football, just a different type.
Yeah, it's still sponsored by the IWFL, which is giving you another opportunity, which is expanding and getting the word out. I mean, that's just great. And like Barb said, $650, pardon me, to own a team – that's nothing. Even if you wanted to own the team and then charge your players a player fee, it's still going to be cheaper. I mean, shoot, I was paying almost, what, almost $700 just alone as a player fee, just to play on a regular team. So even if, you know, somebody approaches you and say, hey, $100 bucks and $20 for your items, $120 to be a part of a team, that's not bad at all.
No, it looks like when we had to play to place flag as well. You know, you pay a $35 player fee and then the $20 for your uniform. So, we pay $55 a season in flag as well. So you're going to pay something. I mean, that's a given. You know, the people that are going to go to Vegas for the flag championships, they're going to be paying out of their pocket anyway to go out there. So, you know, if you enjoy that football, if you want to play tackle football, this is your step in.
And if you're a fan, like Barb said, here's one more opportunity, one more game for you to go to. I think they do play their games on Saturdays, not what time, but it's definitely an option to see. If you don't have a big team in your area and you're a small town and you can't travel to go see a big game, look up and see if you have a Sixes team. Go out there and support your women's football because there could be a Sixes team. It could get you, you know, the news starts getting out. That team could become a full-size team once more people start learning about them. So it's definitely, I want to play.
Yeah.
If Barbie, you didn't live so far away, I said, let's do it. But
let's do it, yeah. Yeah, it's something to think about. So, and actually, thought, and I always read about the Sixes, and I always kind of followed the Sixes. But until you said, hey, you know, we're thinking about starting a team out here, I'm thinking, wow, you know what? That's something I can look back into going back into because, you know, I like real football. I like hitting. And, you know, I did read something that how they set up. And actually, you can actually, if you go on YouTube, I think some of the championship games are on there. That they, you know, people develop their own little two-minute clips and stuff, so you can kind of get a feel. I think it's an offense has to have the three people in the front. I think it mentions that. I think in the paperwork that you have, I think it mentioned that. The offense has to have at least a three-person front, and I would think that the backfield and then, you know, the two, like linebacker-type positions, you know, where they kind of set up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the flag is eight man, and so I think what you do is I think you're right. I think you just lose a lineman and maybe your middle linebacker or something like that that you sacrifice when you switch down from an eight man to a six man.
Didn't we go to a game last year in the WPFL? I don't even think they used a full man front. I think they kind of did the same thing. They staggered their players. Was that the Amazon Scorpion game we went to that somebody staggered, or was it your game, Megan? Somebody staggered one of their fronts at one point.
Championship, maybe?
I'm trying to think. There was a staggering. It was like a different type of format that they played. I don't remember, but it was one of the – I think it was a WPFL game we went to.
Are you sure it wasn't the Detroit when we played Detroit? Because they had a defense, too, where they kind of staggered their people.
It might have been.
It could have been the Scorpions, but I remember playing – I think the staggered team – was Wisconsin, and you never saw Wisconsin play, so.
No.
But it was effective because it's like you think, you know, you're moving your people. You just kind of, you might not be running up the middle or something, and you know.
You have more zone, yeah. You probably have less blitzing and more of a you're more given a zone or an area or something like that, you know. And that this also opens up a thing to phone lines, or for any of our members that want to write in, and Barb will give you that number and the address in a second. Anybody that plays for the Sixes or sees the Sixes game that wants to give us more information that we might have missed, or wants to tell us their experience of either watching the game or playing the game, you know, do call in or give us, you know, email us. Barb will give you that number and that address.
Okay, the phone number to call in is area code 646-915-9555. And if you want to email us, you can email us at contact@wsbtalk.com, and we can always bring it up at another show. But I also wanted to make a point while you're talking about numbers and stuff. We're actually going to be changing our 24-hour message line. The line that I use right now is going to be discontinued in February. And I'm going to get a new phone number. I actually did get a new phone number, but I didn't put it into effect yet. It's going to be a little different. I'll have to give it to you too, Meg. It's actually, they can actually leave as long as messages as they want. One I have now. Yeah, so if they want to tell a story. So it's going to be good. The only difference is they'll dial in, and they'll have to punch in an extension. And that's the only difference. But they can leave like up to an hour messages. They really want
to
chit-chat.
That's like when Robin had to call back. We had to
put 14 segments to tell her story. Yeah, so this is an all-time thing. So, yeah. Yeah, we have 13 minutes left remaining. Let me give some of our other websites. We do keep a blog, and the last couple times Meg has been writing on the blog, and hopefully you'll see more of Meg. And I actually did something different. Do you see the little picture I put up of you?
Yes.
So every time that it's your little talk, I'm going to put your little picture up so we know it's you talking.
And every once in a while I may send you a new picture. That one
yeah.
Work in my office. So
yeah, and it's very nice, very nice. And our blog address is www.womensfootballtalk.com. And then we have a MySpace, myspace.com/WFB Talk. And I haven't been on MySpace in a while, so I you know what, if there's some updates, the best way to give us your updates is to email us directly. If you want something said, email us directly, and we'll make sure we get it out there.
If you want to talk to any one of us, we have a WFB Talk email address that goes right to our personal email address. And we'll write any of our fans back if you want to know other questions about us or any football questions or anything like that. Feel free. We definitely respond to anybody out there that wants to talk to us or has questions or anything like that.
Hey, we got a listener on the line. I'm gonna put them on. It's a 718 area code. Let me unmute this person here. Oh, is that you, Merle?
Yes, me.
How you doing? This is Merle Exit, publicist for the New York Sharks. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, did you get my email? Sorry, I need to call you. I got to change my phone number.
Yeah, I did. You know, as a matter of fact, it was very funny because I get a phone call, and I thought it was you. And so the first thing I said, so the person says, so what's going on? So I said, oh, did you listen to my show last night? And they says, pause, and she goes, what show? And I'm saying to myself, am I talking to Barbara? Maybe I'm not talking.
Oh, no.
Hey, do you have anything you want to say about Jen Bloom? She's going to be on American Gladiator tomorrow. We kind of briefly mentioned it.
Of course, I don't know the outcome. She's not going to tell me the outcome.
Yes.
But it's going to be quite interesting. I mean, I got some ideas of things, but all we have to remember is it's a show. It's a show.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a show. There's a purpose. You know. It's a. You know.
You know what?
Show,
it's, right
you know?
Here, it's information. It's information getting out there about women's football, and that's what we like. So we're good with that.
That's as far as I'm concerned. But here's something interesting. I just got to quickly tell you. Because I'm trying to do all this publicity for Sunday when Jen is going to be on this panel discussion of Jews and football, and she'll be the only female. You know, and I'm trying to get it covered, and I'm emailing some people and whatever, and they're getting guys getting back to me and saying, Well, you know, there'll be a problem.
Well, so am I. No offense, Giants. I'm rooting for the Green Bay Packers today.
If the Giants lose, I can get some coverage out there. If they win, I'm lost.
Well, Whitney's not going to be too happy with you. That's her team, remember?
Right. and we do stuff for the Giants also, so the team. So,
oh, that's,
you know,
right. You have the JPD coming up.
The JPD, and I think there's a thing where they do something before the games. There's some volunteer stuff that the team gets to go to. We got to find out about this and maybe do the same thing with other teams.
Yes.
To set it up, they go to the football game and do some kind of work or whatever, and it's publicity for the teams, you know. Yeah, we got to do what we got to do. But, yes. All right, back to you.
Okay, so I'll give you a call after the show to talk to you, okay?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, Merle, have a good one now.
Bye, Merle.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a nice little surprise.
Yeah, I saw 718 area code. I'm thinking, look how familiar that number. Yeah, I had called her, and, you know, of course, I changed my phone number, and I notified some people. And some people said, well, are you going to give me your phone number? I'm like, yeah.
Well,
I sent it out, you know. Well, yeah. You were saying, Barb, are you going to give me your phone number? Well, yeah. It was kind of nice having nobody call me for a bit, you know, for at least a couple hours.
It's funny because you texted me, and I responded, and you probably didn't get your response because you had changed your phone number between the time.
Yeah.
And I texted you back, and then I checked my email, and I was lucky that I checked my email, because you know I don't check my email that often. And there it was, so I was almost like, I would have been sad. I would have been kept texting to the, you know, all these messages to you, and you wouldn't have gotten them. But.
Yeah, well, I kept getting these repeat phone calls, and I wasn't getting messages, and it was kind of getting frustrating. I said, you know what, I had this phone number long enough. It's time for a change, and so
I
called.
Well, good thing I didn't have it memorized, so.
Yeah.
Hey, ladies, I would like to interject.
Go for it, Nancy.
I'm currently watching the New England Packers. Never mind. Hold on. That was totally wrong. The Green Bay Packers and the New England Giants.
New England Giants? The New York Giants. Yes, go ahead.
New York Giants. Well, okay, I'm just going to go with the Packers and the Giants. How's that?
Okay.
Right now, it is -1. They're playing a -1 right now.
Wow. Well, in New England, it was 23 degrees, wasn't it, when you were saying? Yeah.
And it's 59 degrees in Texas, and it's usually hot here.
Right. And currently with the wind chill where they're playing at the game, it's -23 right now.
Wow.
So there's a little bit of wind. And they just showed a little recap. The last two other coldest games was in 1967 when it was -13, and in 1982, -9. So this is the third coldest football game.
Wow.
See, I'm going to be enjoying listening to the games on WFN radio this year.
Yeah,
on those cold days.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I'm totally ready for Super Bowl. It's more for the Super Bowl party stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's why we probably won't have a show because, you know, Robin's going to be at the Giants, the New England Patriots game. Well, we'll be rooting for, I told Nancy, okay, I'll root for the Patriots if she wants Patriots. But I do like Green Bay.
The winner. Wait, I got a question. Are we down? I'm lame. I haven't been following anything. I've just been catching games here and there. Is the winner of today's game, is this it? Do they go to Super Bowl?
February 3rd. February 3rd, Super Bowl.
Patriots are going for sure. All right.
Yep, Patriots and whoever wins the New York Giants-Green Bay Packers game.
Oh, Packers.
Currently it's in the 11th minute, first one, and it's still 0-0. So they just started roughly about 4 minutes ago.
I was kind of rooting for San Diego in the beginning. It was actually a good game. Yeah.
I'm a San Diego fan, and, you know, out here, anything to still kind of remember California, so, you know, hey.
Yeah, yeah. But do you have anything else to add, Meg? Or we still have 6 minutes left. I'm trying to think what other things that we didn't
add, but it has nothing to do with football. I just bought a new game.
I know, I heard that. You know, I had mentioned on the blog that I was trying to get a marketing individual to talk to the owners, and I still haven't heard back. I actually do start a marketing class. I'm going back to college on Tuesday. Yay!
Yeah, go ahead, tell us about your
I'm taking an online marketing class right now just because I couldn't wait to start college. I'm actually starting on Tuesday, and this is just for fun. I just want to, you know, I'm involved in the National Golf League, and I'm actually their marketing director of one of the teams, and I'm just trying to get a heads up.
You know what, and that's so great. I'm so jealous because, you know, with me, I've been going, you know, I just graduated with my BS, and I'm going to go into my master's program for counseling in September, but I can't wait till the point I can go back and take classes for fun. So
yeah, just for fun. You know, I'm kind of looking, it's funny, I was telling Nancy, I went to this college back in 1981 when I was 18 years old, and I was looking up at my old transcripts, and they still had all my records, so it was so easy to sign up. I said, oh, I took this when I was 18 years old, you know.
Oh, that's so funny, because, you know, in 1981, I was only 2.
No, oh, shut up.
I love you nonetheless, Barbara.
I know. Yeah, so that's kind of neat.
That's very good, Barb, that you're going back to school. I'm very proud of you. I know it's really hard, especially, you know, you being a mom, you having a full-time job, and taking the time to have an interest in going to class, because it's really hard to do that. Well, I congratulate you on that, Barb. Another thing, too, Barb and I were adventurous yesterday. We went just below South Lake Tahoe yesterday, and we went snowshoeing, the first time ever for the both of us, with our friend Wendy.
Did you guys fall down?
Yes, we did. And we kind of pushed each other. But,
was that anything compared to being tackled?
It was kind of a last-minute thing. It was fun, though.
We rented snowshoes. Barb and I, because Wendy has her own, and then we officially bought our own yesterday. We're really excited. Maybe in about 7 days they'll be shipped over to us.
Yay, so then when we go. But, hey, we got 3 minutes left, and we probably need that time for the end music. So we want to thank our listeners for tuning in, listening to us talk about the Sixes. So like Meg said, what is that website again, Meg, to check on the Sixes?
SIXXES.com.
Or you can go to the IWFL website at iwflsports.com for more information. We'll direct you to that. We want to thank our listeners. Next week, I know Nancy's going to be in Monterey. I'm going to be in Burbank at a Xena convention. You know, one of those.
Are you going with Pam?
No, actually, I'm going with a friend who's a publisher. I'm going to help her sell some books that they just published. Yeah, I actually emailed her, but I'm actually going I'm going to be working 3 days at the convention. So
and
if anybody's in Burbank, California, come see me. I'll be at one of the you know, areas selling books.
And I'm going to be up at Huntsville getting licensed, so I'll get my actual official officer badge.
But we probably will still have a show. I'm going to talk to Robin and BB, and I don't know if you're going to be on, but we'll do the her special. I actually was listening to what she was talking about. I don't know if she's going to be on, but we'll talk to her. But it's player-coach relationships. So, you know, how players and coaches have that relationship bonding.
On the field, more of like a business type of way, not in a private way, but how you relate to your coach as being an adult and then being an adult and how that process is through.
Now, from what I heard, that's what it sounded like. I didn't actually talk to her, but from what I heard, that's what it sounded like. I was kind of listening before the show. But we want to thank our listeners for
thank
tuning
Blog
in.
Blog Talk Radio for having
us
on.
Blog Talk Radio. Tune in next week at 3 o'clock. I'll try to get some things updated on the blog.
All right. Sounds
okay?
Good.
Okay?
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Barb will give you a call.
Okay. See you next time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.